Mark 10, 46 to 52. They came to Jericho, and as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Blind Max Schultz. It doesn't quite roll off the tongue like blind Bartimaeus. It's not only the loss of alliteration. Our general cultural awareness tells us that Mac and Schultz form a most unlikely combination. It had not occurred to me that Bartimaeus is a similarly unlikely combination. Bar is Aramaic, Timaeus is Greek. And it's even more strange to say Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, like Mark does. That's like saying MacDonald, son of Donald. And to this, the fact that Mark never names the people whom Jesus heals. Peter's mother-in-law is the closest he gets to a name. And we're justified in wondering if there ever was a blind man called Bartimaeus. Was there a blind man whose healing is deeply symbolic of something else, so symbolic that even his name is constructed to help make the point? There are, after all, two blind men in Mark. One, unnamed, is near the end of chapter 8, where Jesus has almost despairingly said to the disciples, "Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear?" He then heals the first blind man, who still cannot see clearly. People look like trees walking. But then, after more attention from Jesus and looking intently, hint, he sees everything clearly. That's 8:22-26. This first blind man is brought to Jesus. Still blind, but not quite so blind perhaps, Bartimaeus brings himself. He is there on the side of the road, crying out, "Jesus, son of David." The two stories are bookends to an intense period of teaching what it means to be Messiah and what it means to follow the Messiah on the road. On the road is Mark's constant code phrase, which refers to following Jesus. Only after this teaching, this looking intently, are the last few miles which begin the final journey up to Jerusalem able to be travelled. In this week's story, we're in Jericho. Mark carefully emphasizes this by needlessly repeating the name. Jericho was the place where the walls came tumbling down shortly after Israel's entry into the Promised Land. You'll find that in Joshua 5. Later, false witnesses will say, "We heard him say, 'I'll destroy this temple that is made with hands.'" More walls come tumbling down. Image is piled upon image to help us see clearly that neither this going up to Jerusalem which will destroy the walls, nor this Messiah, despite all the historic resonance, carry the military connotation people expected. Bartimaeus is identified not only as blind, but as a beggar. He's not blessed of God, like the rich young man. He stands as a contrast to him in every way. And like the rich young man, he gives up all he has, even his cloak. The rich young man addressed Jesus as good teacher. Bartimaeus calls him Jesus, son of David, a clear reference to the Messiah. Whereas the young man was deeply shocked and went away when Jesus called him, Bartimaeus sprang up and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus already sees more clearly than the rich young man, and more clearly than the disciples, as he sits by the way, rather than already being on the way, like the disciples. Yet although he is not brought to Jesus, unlike the first blind man, Bartimaeus is still called. Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he's calling you." The words there three times. Despite what we work out for ourselves, we still need Jesus to call us, to enable us to see. Dramatic tension is heaped up in the story, all those repetitions. And Jesus stood still. There's no casual calling. There's shouting, disapproving, springing up, healing. As well as reflecting on the rich young man, the story harks back to the two teaching chapters in another way. Jesus asks James and John, "What is it you want me to do for you?" Almost exactly the same question he asks Bartimaeus. And the answer of Bartimaeus is starkly different. "Let me see again." Being able to see is far more important than status. I notice that Mark contrasts the name of Jesus of Nazareth with that of Jesus, son of David. Jesus, son of David is repeated. The people tell Bartimaeus to be quiet, not because he's a beggar disturbing the peace, but because this is a politically dangerous insight, and because Jesus, son of David, is one of the lessons we're meant to see when we look intently at the story. Bartimaeus sees Jesus is more than Jesus of Nazareth. It's not by accident that Mark has him shouting out the name. But why Max Schultz? When I began to look for a meaning in the name Bartimaeus, Mark only gives names for a purpose. I immediately thought of the Timaeus, one of the dialogues of Plato. I don't think there's a connection. Those with a mythicist bent inclined to point out the role of sight in the Timaeus. But Mark does not make allusions to the philosophers anywhere else. And it's for that same reason I also reject the idea that Bartimaeus is Mark's representation of the blind sage Tiresias, who appears in the Odyssey. But is Bartimaeus a multilingual pun? It's always gratifying to have an idea and then find someone agrees. In this case, Burton Mack in A Myth of Innocence, Mark and Christian Origins. One translation of Bartimaeus would be son of the unclean or son of poverty, which stems from the Aramaic name Bartimaeus, apparently. This is a frequent interpretation, as any internet search on the name will show. If that were the point, though, why would Mark emphasize his translation of that name into Greek? In Greek, Timaeus means honored or worthy. Well, in the pun, Bartimaeus starts out in poverty, almost certainly unclean in the eyes of the law. and yet becomes a son of the Honoured One? Will we remain like James and John or the rich young man? Or will we answer the call and allow ourselves to be made worthy? In all of this, there's something for those of us who preach to remember. What might we be saying to those who are physically blind when we reflect on this story? How would I preach this if a friend in the front pew were blind? I'm going to quote from Bill Loder. But what about the real person under all this symbolic development? What if I'm visually impaired, partially or fully blind? I cannot be reduced to a symbolic prop. What must it be like with all these words about blindness and songs about recovering sight when you know you're blind and will never see? There are many ways of being ignored, treated as someone who does not matter, or made into a stereotype. Is it possible to truly belong as a person with a disability in a community? Meeting Bill for a moment, I remember a Papuan woman who visibly flinched when I talked about the blackness of sin in one of my earliest sermons. It was one of those moments you always regret. Bill goes on to say, despite the inevitable exaggerations, it's likely that Jesus did perform healings. It's too difficult otherwise to explain the strength of the tradition. Its relevance is another question. Very relevant for the fortunate ones healed, very significant as a symbol of recovery and renewal, notable as fulfillment of biblical images of hope. But where the focus falls on the achievements, the cry from the roadside must be heard, me too. Why do you prattle on about all these wonders when you know well that I shall be like this for the rest of my life? How can you be so unsensitive, unrealistic? Honest caring, which does not overpromise or load me with guilt at promises unfulfilled, is what I want from the side of the road. For I too am someone of worth. Of course I want change where that can be done. But I don't want to be the stuff of your miracles and potential propaganda. I'm not odd, stupid, a case, a need. I'm a person, not a discounted person, or a person to be discounted. And reading Bill, I think I'd want to speak with that physically blind person before preaching on this text, getting their understanding of it. And I'm left wondering how many other conversations I should have had before preaching in the past. There's one more allusion to see in all of this. Jack Spong has an essay titled Examining the Meaning of Resurrection, Who Stood in the Centre of the Easter Breakthrough? He's asking in this essay who it was who first understood what Jesus signified, and his suggestion is Peter. He says, when we search the entire New Testament, Peter emerges at the centre of the Jesus experience, yet there is clearly ambivalence in the biblical portrait of Peter. He suggests that Mark's story of Jesus healing the blind man from Bethesda, and I quote, is not a miracle story at all, but rather a parable about the conversion of Peter. This is Mark 8:22-30. Recall three things about this story, he says. First, it comes immediately prior to Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi that Jesus is indeed the Christ. And following that confession, Jesus first applauds Peter for his insight and then rebukes him for not understanding his own words. Second, Peter hails from Bethsaida. And thirdly, the curing of this man's blindness does not come all at once, but comes rather in stages, just as Peter's understanding of Jesus seems to have done. At first we're told that the blind man from Bethsaida sees trees walking, and only later, when Jesus has laid his hands on him a second time and has looked at him intently, was his real sight ultimately created and he was enabled to see. Again, I've left Jack's quote now. Again, the names are important. Caesarea Philippi is the Philippi of Caesar, Herod's seat, and where the Messiah is announced in opposition to the political powers. Bethsaida, John's Gospel tells us this is Peter's home, means house of fishes. And we are all Peter. We are all ambivalent. And in a sense, we're all at the centre of the Jesus experience, as Spong put it. It is we who are being called. We will all waver with Peter. The question is whether we will finally spring up with Bartimaeus and see again.